Take your Bibles, if you will, tonight, and turn with me to the book of Esther. The message that I'm going to bring tonight is not all going to come out of the book of Esther, but I believe the Lord is leading me because this is a great example of what we're talking about tonight to kind of spring out of the book of Esther. Sister Jane, I didn't know you were here, but I was actually fixing to ask prayer for Brother Larry. I know he's been in some pain. We requested prayer for him Wednesday night. I'm sorry. Maybe it was last Sunday night because I saw him at the funeral Sunday afternoon. He was hurting. But remember Brother Larry in your prayers, having a great deal of pain in his head. Brother Arnold's not been doing well at all. Gets frustrated, can't deal with the pain in his back, and I think there's five discs that are bad, and a lot of people enduring a lot of things. But I tell you, when Jesus comes, the enduring will be over, and we'll be able to enjoy. Amen. And Paul said, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. Brother Richard was gone for, I guess, a month and a half, wasn't you, Brother Richard, with that pneumonia? I don't know how anybody his age could have pneumonia. It looks like it'd be old pneumonia if he had it. Amen. Brother Richard's still fighting that junk. And a lot of people. Fighting different things. But tonight, very unusual. I've had the Lord to speak to my heart with the Bible open. I've had the Lord to speak to my heart just going about my daily routine. But sometimes the Lord speaks to your heart when your heart is geared in a way. I don't know, maybe without being a under-shepherd, you'd understand that when your heart is just kind of consumed with different things that are going on, sometimes the Lord just impressing things on your heart. But I told my wife the other night, I said, honey, we've got Bob and Charity, they bought their house, and they're closing this Friday, and I'm not complaining in any way. I'm not going to miss Bob. But I am going to miss little Bob. I'm going to miss Sawyer terribly and Olivia and sometimes Charity. But anyway, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to the camper, honey, to study where it's quiet, where I can just get away. And so I turned on a little bit of heat in the camper out in the driveway. And Brother Grizzle, on the way, I didn't make three or four steps. The Lord spoke to my heart about the thought that I'm going to share tonight. That's dealing with uncertainty. Let's look in our Bibles tonight at Esther. I believe this is as fine an example. And I really didn't know where I was going to start tonight until just a few minutes ago. If you were in the choir, you saw me open my Bible. And I've learned to trust Him along the way. I mean, we're going to be in a lot of different thoughts and avenues, But I believe this is where the Lord wants us to start tonight. If it's all right with you, I'm going to take my time tonight. I just want to take my time because I believe this is needed. I know I needed it. And I believe it'll help us tonight. If you look, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but look at chapter 3. I just want you to see the severity of the time that Esther's living in and Mordecai's living in, and see the letter. The Bible said in verse number 13 of chapter 3, and the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women. Look at that phrase, in one day. Even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Now, you know the story in the book of Esther, I believe. And most of you know the story, how that Haman was wicked. And Haman could not stand Mordecai. Mordecai wouldn't bow to him. Mordecai believed that you were to bow to the God of heaven. By the way, I'm just going to throw this out there tonight. Jesus said, call no man father upon the earth. Now, he wasn't talking about your earthly father, but you know what he's talking about. Say amen. We're not to bow to a man. We're not to kiss a man's feet or a man's ring. But thank God we bow to the God of heaven. We bow to the Lord Jesus. And if you go with me now to chapter number 4, how many believes this is urgent? This is serious. Okay, now how many can see in the text tonight that if you're a Jew, things kind of went from everyday life to a great deal of uncertainty just like that. One letter. If you're a mama that's worth your salt, you're concerned about your youngins. If you're a Jew and you're a daddy that's worth your salt, you're concerned about your family. Amen? And you're concerned because this king, Ahasuerus is how I say his name. That may not be exactly right, but he has power. Amen? A lot of people forget that the devil does have power. He is the prince and the power of the air. But we know the one that has all power in heaven and in earth. We know the one that lives in us is greater than he that's in the world. So if you'll go to chapter number 4, verse number 1 with me tonight, I may not get done tonight, but I'm going to just try to do, oh, mind the Lord. The Bible said, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes. That was a sign in the Old Testament of humility, a sign of brokenness, a sign saying, this situation is bigger than I am, and I need some help in my situation. The Bible said here, Mordecai rent his clothes, he put on sackcloth and ashes, and he went out into the midst of the city. He's not doing this in a closet. He went right out in the middle, Brother Rose, of the city. And the Word of God said he cried aloud with a bitter cry. I don't know what Mordecai is saying, but I believe he might be saying something like this. Oh, my God. Help us, Lord. We don't know what to do. We don't know which way to turn. But God, we know you can help us. I don't know what Mordecai is praying. Could be at times that Mordecai didn't even know what Mordecai was praying. I believe some of the best praying we'll ever do is when the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Amen. I'll guarantee you this. Amen. Too many years ago, I heard Brother Danny Sykes say this, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. He said we need to get the O back in our prayer life. Oh, God. Amen. Get that desperation back. God, help us. Now watch this tonight. I want you to see, if you come on over into verse number 14 tonight, what an example. I just want to stop and say thank you, Lord. What an example of uncertainty. The Bible said, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Esther, if you read chapter number 4, she had kind of hinted that she didn't know whether she wanted to do that or not. She had told him, you know, if I go in there and the king doesn't hold out his scepter, I could be in a heap of trouble. I'm paraphrasing. She could have lost her life. But watch what the Bible said. Mordecai commanded to answer Esther and said, think not with thyself that thou shall escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. Mordecai is saying to Esther, Esther, honey, this don't just apply to the Jews that's on the outside. This applies to the Jews that's on the inside too. And if this thing goes down the way it's planned, they're coming after you as well. Now watch this. The Bible said here in verse number 14, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time," now look at, I want you to look at Mordecai's confidence in God. He's fasted. He's prayed. The Bible said here, "For if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." Now watch this. Go back up there. Verse 13, chapter 3. "The letters were sent by the post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish." What's them next two words? You know what Mordecai believed? He believed that God aimed to keep the promise that he made to Abraham. Mordecai believed, honey, we might be in a heap of trouble, but I tell you something right now, there's a God in heaven that keeps his promises. And the Jews are not going to be. Beloved, listen, I think about that today. You say, "Preacher, I don't know what they're going to do over in Israel." I don't either, but I know who's going to take care of them. That's the God of heaven. And I know whose side I want to be on when it goes down. I want to be on the side of the God of heaven. Amen. Now watch this. And so Mordecai has confidence. He says, "Esther, their enlargement's going to come. Deliverance is going to rise to the Jews from another place if you're going to hold your peace. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I'm not preaching on that tonight. I want you to see the uncertainty that has gripped the hearts of the Jewish people. But there was a leader. He didn't know all about it. He didn't know how it was going to happen. He just knew it was going to happen. That deliverance would come. Because God had made so many promises to the people of God, to Israel. Now watch this. Look at verse 15. "Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer." They're going back and forth through messengers. "Go, gather together," I like this phrase, "all the Jews." Get them all together. "All the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law." In other words, she understands that she has to be bid to come in before the king according to the law. But notice what she said. "And if I perish, I perish." Esther is telling Mordecai, "I need your prayers. I want everybody fasting. This is serious. I'll go in there." And Esther still understands the uncertainty. But she said, "If I perish, I perish. I'm going to do the right thing. And if I perish, I perish." Let me pray just a moment tonight. Father, I need your help. Lord, only you can help me to make sense out of what's in my heart tonight. I pray, Lord, that you will do that. Speak to our hearts. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. How many remembers the three Hebrew children? Same kind of situation. When you hear the music, the psaltery and the sackbut and all that, then you're going to bow down and worship the idol image of gold. But there was three. Said, "We ain't going to do it. We bow to God. We don't bow to false gods. We don't bow to gold gods. We bow to the God of gods, the Lord of heaven." And they, if you look at it with me, turn over to Daniel for just a moment. Daniel. And let's look at it together, because I believe it's worth looking at, worth actually reading. And he said in verse 16 of chapter number 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, it's an uncertain time in their life. They don't know how this is going to turn out, but they do know something. Let me rephrase that. They do know someone. They know the Lord. Watch the next verse. He said, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now watch this. There's a degree of uncertainty, but there's a degree of certainty. See what I'm talking about? He's able. We don't know if that's what he's going to do or not, but he's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. We might be uncertain about that, but there's one thing we're certain about, and that is, O king, you're not going to get the best of us. We don't belong to you. We belong to him. He's our Lord. He's our master. Now watch this. The Bible said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, little g with an S on the end, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Here's what I'm trying to say to you tonight. They're getting ready to be thrown into a burning, fiery furnace. They did not know for sure how it was going to turn out. But they knew for sure they'd rather be in that furnace than standing out here compromising. Amen. With this sin-benighted world and that sin-benighted king that was king in that day. You see, I hope tonight God's painting you a picture. I got three things to share in the message. There's no way I'd be here till 10 o'clock tonight. So let's just dig in and get started. How's that? You know, you remember they came along and they said to Daniel, they hated Daniel. They couldn't find anything to accuse Daniel of. So they said, well, we'll have to draw up some paperwork here concerning Daniel's God. We'll have to make it against the law to pray. We'll get him that way. Listen to me. These men are not Superman. Daniel's a man, just like you and I are. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are men. Young men. And when they told him that, the Word of God said he went right back up there. His windows open. Why? Because he feared somebody more than he feared the king. He feared somebody more than he feared the lions. And the Word of God said, he prayed, I love these words, as he did aforetime. In other words, he wasn't going to do anything different. What he was doing was right, and he was just going to continue to do what he had been doing all along. He said, preacher, I don't see any uncertainty in that. Well, let them tell you that they're going to throw your youngins in with a den of lions tonight. Let them tell you they're going to throw you in a den of lions tonight. I'm telling you, Daniel did not have any idea how it was going to turn out, but he did know this. I'm going to keep praying. It's the right thing to do. I've been doing it too long to stop now. Amen. And he wouldn't give up on the things of God. Let me say this to you tonight. Too many churches, too many families, too many individuals have given up on the things of God when they should have just carried on. Beloved, listen. Christianity doesn't get real good until it costs you something. We're living in a world that wants a cheap Christianity. Don't let it touch my finances. Don't let it touch my family. I want a faith like the TV evangelists have. Beloved, that's not taught in this book. That is not taught in this book. Let me give you something tonight. Let me just start with this. There will be uncertainty. That's the first statement I want to make tonight. Every one of us at some place in our life will face uncertainty. Things that we're not certain about. How are we going to deal with it? He said, preacher, I don't know what you mean. Listen, let me stir your heart just a minute. The Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou know not what a day may bring forth. How many understands that there's not one of us that can guarantee any of us what we're going to do tomorrow? We've got plans. Yes, we do. One preacher told me one time, he said, pastor, he said, when you're working in the church, he said, plan your work and then work your plan. Things don't happen around a church if you don't do some planning. Amen. But let me tell you something right now. There's a God in heaven that can turn our plans up if he so pleases. He can interrupt our plans if he so pleases. We don't know what tomorrow holds in our family. I showed my wife my notes when I got a text this afternoon. I had to turn to them on the computer and show her, so she would know that I wasn't putting this in. This was already in my heart. In our family, there will be uncertainties. In our job, there will be uncertainties. In our wealth, there will be uncertainties. In our health, there will be uncertainties. In our relationships, there will be uncertainties. I'm just telling you, there are uncertainties in life. The three Hebrew children faced it. Daniel faced it. In the den of lions. Is there anybody in this building besides me that's ever fainted? I'm talking about literally fainted. Raise your hand if you've ever fainted. That is not something that, if I could make it from here to heaven without ever having to experience that again, that'd be all right with me. Raise them up there again if you've ever fainted. Brother Gary, you remember the uncertainty when the lights are going out? If you fainted, you know what I just said. The lights are going out. The lights are not coming on. The lights are going out. And you're at the mercy of God. You're at the mercy of whoever's around you. How many knows what I'm talking about tonight? Just in a simple thing, you say, well, preacher, that's just a simple issue. It might be, but when you're going through it, it's not simple. I was at my brother's wedding. They did a dumb thing. They put us in tuxedos 2 hours before the wedding took place. It must have been 100 degrees. And I'm standing there and they got all these pictures of the wedding. And all the men are lined up down this side. My brother's up there getting married. All the men are lined up down through here. They got pictures. The men are there, the men are there, the men are there, the men are there, and then the men are gone. The men are gone, the men are gone, and the men are gone. Pictures. Pictures, pictures. Then the men are back. He said, what happened? I tell you what happened. My lights went out. I standing there in the middle of my brother's wedding. And boom. My other brother behind me caught me under the arms, dragged me over into a side room. They were waving songbooks and waving papers when I come to. And I looked at them and said, what's going on? They said, your brother's getting married. I said, maybe we better get back in there. Uncertainty. We can laugh about that tonight. How many believes there was great concern in that congregation that day? What happened to that boy? I was a young man, but you cut my hair off and honey, I'll go out on you. So if you don't like it when I loosen my tie, I'm sorry. But I'd rather loosen my tie than go out on you. Amen. Went to see my father-in-law in the hospital. You tell me there's not a God in heaven. Before I got saved, I could not stand the odor of a hospital. If I went in a hospital, just the odor, lights out. I couldn't stand to smell it. God saved me by His grace. God called me to preach this old book. God knew I'd have to spend a lot of time in hospitals, and the odor has never bothered me since. Went to see my wife's father-in-law. I won't describe the whole situation, but he was in the hospital. I ended up in the bed alongside of him. What a blessing. Uncertainty. Uncertainty. Used to take tests in school. Listen to me tonight. I'm just trying to paint a picture. There's a lot of things in life that are uncertain. I'd take a test in school. I could tell you one thing was certain. I wasn't going to get an A. What was uncertain is whether I was going to pass or not. How many knows what I just said? I'm trying to encourage you mothers and fathers to get your youngins not to be like their pastor. I wasn't a real good student. I didn't apply myself. I'd rather be nailing two boards together than reading a book or studying. Amen. I learned early on that 2 + 2 = 2. And they're trying to teach us today. That doesn't really matter if you come up with that answer. It's just how you got the answer that really matters. Beloved, there's uncertainty in this life. Uncertainty. Every way you turn around. One phone call. One doctor's visit. One car accident can turn your life upside down. Upside down. In churches, listen to me carefully tonight. Sister Jane, you know what I'm talking about, being a pastor's wife. I mean, you can be going along in a church and things. Listen to me carefully. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm stating the facts. And 90% of the congregation think things are just going so good. How many knows what I just said? And come in one Sunday just to find out things are turned upside down. Uncertainty. How do you deal with it? How did Esther deal with it? How did Mordecai deal with it? How did the three Hebrew children deal with it? How did Daniel deal with it? I don't have time to get into all of it tonight, but let's look here secondly. There will be uncertainty. That's the first thing in the message tonight. Secondly, we need to look to the one who certainly knows the way through our uncertain times. Daniel was looking to the Lord. Daniel didn't know what was going to happen in the den of lions, but Jesus did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not know what was going to happen in the fire, but the Lord did. Wouldn't it be something to be in a furnace like that? It was so hot that the ones that threw them in, it slew them. It killed them. Just at the entrance of the door, it killed them. Fired 7 times more than it was wanting to be fired. I can't remember the degrees, but I think it was about 1,100 or 1,200 degrees that it takes to melt silver. And so you're probably looking at something that's over 7,000 degrees. I don't know how you get that hot. I've heard of white hot, but it was so hot it slew them at the door. But in that time of uncertainty, there was men that wasn't going to look to the idol image of gold. They wasn't going to look to the earthly king. They were going to look to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so they were going to look unto Him. The Bible teaches us that we should do that. They were going to look in the Bible. They were going to look to the throne of God. They were going to look to the brethren. Let me just say this tonight. I'm going to come back on this on Wednesday night. There's no way I can get this covered tonight, but listen to me carefully. For years, I didn't understand this. I was never taught this, so I'm going to try to teach you this tonight. When you need an answer, how many knows what I'm talking about? When you need an answer, let me encourage you. Take this book. Now listen, here's where most people get, or a lot of people get in trouble. They open the book and they've already got their mind made up. You can open the book with your mind made up and probably find something to say what you're wanting to hear. That's just like talking to people, Brother Steve. If you ask enough people, somebody will tell you your preconceived idea what you're wanting to hear if you ask enough people. But I tell you what, if you can find neutral, let me give you something. God spoke to my heart about this a while ago. Our Lord, in the Garden of Gethsemane, He found neutral. He was a man. Brother John, I thought about what you said this morning. When He was born, before He ever left heaven's throne, He knew He was headed to Calvary. But, as a man, He bowed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Is that in the Bible? And then He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but Thy will be done. You say, "Preach, I don't know why that's in the Bible. If for no other reason, it's for me. To help me to understand that when sometimes when I don't know what to do, when I don't know which way to go, when I don't know the answer, just to know it's all right. He knows the answer. Just talk to Him about it." Amen. Sometimes God will show us in the Bible. I've had the Lord do that for me many times in my life. Most of you all know the story. That old Crown Victoria sitting out there. The men of this church or the pulpit committee. Now let me give you something. How many remember, you men that was on a pulpit committee, raise your hand if you're here tonight. 1, 2, 3, 4. We're missing one. Who are we missing? No, Brother Dan, we're not. Brother Dan's right there, 5. That's good. Almost 4 years in the pulpit committee, still here anyway. Amen. That's real good. Let me tell you something. How many of you men remember the uncertainty in that room over there? How many remembers it? How many remembers it? Uncertainty. Brother Houston, you and Brother Ralph and other deacons say, now how many members? The uncertainty. You knew of a certain there's a God in heaven that knew what you needed. But you didn't know where. You didn't know how. You didn't know when. But you knew who to talk to about it. You knew who to talk to about it. So I was out there that night. He said, "Preacher, what are you trying to say? You're trying to say our men were uncertain." Well, guess what? I was too. When they talked to me and said, "Would you consider being our pastor?" Honey, I tell you what I told them. I said, "Listen, all I can tell you to do is pray." Y'all remember that? And I said this, "I'm too far down the trail to miss God now. I can't afford to miss Him." When I say afford, I'm not talking about dimes and nickels and dollars and cents. I'm talking about the precious will of God for my life. Sitting out there that night, been in jail for 8 hours, preaching. Thought I'd tell you that in case you didn't know. Coming down the highway, the blessed Holy Spirit said, "Why don't you pull in over and pray?" How many had the blessed Holy Spirit to speak to your heart? Interrupt your plans. "Brother David, I was headed home as quick as I could get there. I was tired. I was wore out." I pulled in over here. By the way, I prayed for this church. I believe it was 2003 or 2004. There were 5 churches. This church was one of them that was without a pastor. And I pulled right around behind that old fellowship hall over there and prayed to the God of heaven and asked God to give them a pastor down at Liberty where I had left. You say, "Preacher, why were you so burdened?" How about this? The last Sunday I was there, there was 235. A year later, there was 35. I was broken. I'm going to tell you something right now. Anybody that poured 10 years of their life into a ministry to want to see it go down the tubes is crazy. I didn't want to see it go down. And it was breaking me in two. I didn't want to see this church suffer. I didn't want to see any church suffer. There was 5 at one time without a pastor. But this time I'm praying, "God, your will for my life. What is your will for my life?" Now listen to me carefully. I started in Hebrews 11. The Lord has answered prayers for me many times in Hebrews 11. He warmed my heart. I know answer. Hebrews 12, Hebrews 13, all the way through the book of James, there'd be places the Lord would warm my heart. I'm sitting out there and I'm telling God this, "Lord, I need an answer." Now listen to the second part. "Lord, they need an answer." Brother Ralph, I felt like not only did I need an answer, but the church needs to know whether to move on or to proceed. Just they need an answer. God, I need an answer. But I had this book open, had the dome light on. I got over into the book of Peter. I pulled in at 10:45. It was almost midnight. So tired. Had I not been so tired, Brother John, we know this book well enough to know at least a little bit what's coming. But had I not been so tired, but I was so tired, I could hardly hold my head up. And I just kept praying and kept reading. And God said, "Feed the flock of God which is among you. Taking the oversight thereof. Not by constraint, but willingly. not for filthy lucre. And in one moment of time, my uncertainty turned into certainty. How many remembers that Wednesday night service the next night? See, not only did God let my uncertainty turn into certainty, but honey, I'm telling you, in a whole bunch of hearts that Wednesday night, God let the church's uncertainty turn into certainty, and I had said nothing about what He had done in my heart. Here's what I want you to see. When we're uncertain, we don't need to lay the book down. We need to pick the book up. There are too many people in this world making life-altering decisions and never look to this book. If we would look to this book, now listen to me carefully. I'll go back and repeat something. If you've already got your mind made up, you're probably wasting your time opening this book. But if you say, Lord, I don't know. Lord, you do. Would you show me? Would you show me? Lord, I'm going to open your word. I'm going to study your word. I'm going to pray. Now, there's another way. Listen to me carefully tonight. I'm not even going to hardly get started, let alone get done. But Gideon, you remember Gideon? God chose a poor man. God chose an unlikely man to deliver the Israelites. He couldn't believe it, Brother Steve. God, me? He tried to make some excuses. And he said, God, I need to know. I need to know for sure. He was uncertain. And he said, I can't remember which way it goes first, but I'm going to put the fleece down. Is it wet all around first? Anybody know for sure? I'm uncertain. Was it wet all around? Is that? And then the fleece be dry? It's one way or the other, for sure. And then he said, Lord, now don't get mad at me. I'm paraphrasing. But the next night, he wanted it to be just the opposite. In other words, let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry all around. How many knows it'd take God to do that? Dew is dew. And when the dew falls, I mean, I don't go out there in the morning, there's dew on Miss Eve's car and there's no dew on mine. Unless I put mine in the shop. You know what I'm talking about. I've had God at times, Brother Wayne, uncertain times, when I could not discern His will as I read the Bible. I guess a lot of preachers wouldn't admit that. But I searched, I looked. I had no clear direction. I can remember being in a prison. Somebody in this church is acquainted with across the river, Miss Eve Sargoinsville, Long's Bend Baptist Church. Who is that? Somebody? You here tonight? You, brother? Pardon? That's Christian's Bend. That's close. It really is. If I hadn't known, Brother John, I wouldn't be able to answer that. The pastor had been there for 30-some years. Every time I went to preach for him, I gave him every date that I had open for 6 months, just trying to help him on down the road. There was one lady in particular. Every time that I would preach and every time that they would leave, she would shake my hand with tears in her eyes and say, you know, Brother Vinoy, we do need a pastor. We need a pastor. I can't blame her for that, can you? I went to in a prison on a Friday night. I had no leadership. I had no direction. I went in a prison on a Friday night. And here's the thing. I didn't plan on praying about that church, but it had been on my heart. It had been on my mind. Got down on my knees. And I said, God, I'm yours. And I said, God, if you want me to take that church, that's what I said, Brother Lance, I'll take it. Honey, I can trust God. He's never let me down. I said, if you want me to take it, I'll take it, Lord. But I said, Lord, I need an answer. I said, Lord, I said, if you want me to take that church, I said, I want you to let me go through this weekend. What I asked Him for had only happened one time in 10 years previous. I said, Lord, let me go through Friday night, let me go through Saturday, let me go through Sunday, and not one man be saved in this prison revival. If you want me to take that church, you do that for me, Lord, and I'll know. I got the green light. You want me to go to Sir Goinsville to pastor that church. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. It doesn't matter to me what you think. I'm not being smart. I'm telling you a story. I got to the place like Gideon. I just didn't know. And I'd been praying for months, and they had been praying for months, and I couldn't get an answer in God's word. I was uncertain. I said, God, listen, I didn't plan any of this. The Spirit of God was leading in the prayer. I believe that because I didn't even bow with that church on my mind. I bowed with the revival on my mind in that prison. But God put them on my mind. I needed an answer. I said, God, if you want me to stay where I'm at, this may not mean much to you tonight, but if our ministry here means anything to you tonight, it would. Because I wouldn't have even been available. How many knows what I just said? God has a way of directing our path. I said, God, if you want me to stay in the prison ministry, I said, then Lord, I want you to save 7 men this weekend. That's how I prayed. I guarantee you there's men that wouldn't tell what I just told because some people look at you like you're a nut. I tell you, I may be, but I'm hooked up with the right bolt. I can tell you that right now. We went through Friday night. Brother Grizzle, not one man was saved. Unusual, in a prison. We went through Saturday morning. We went through Saturday afternoon. Not one man was saved. Sunday morning, we're closing out the meeting now. That's the big day. We had probably 90 to 110 that attended in that chapel. They packed it out, Brother Wayne. And I got up. And God let me quote Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. You know the chapter. Talks about Jesus' suffering. God let me quote it in front of those men, and God let me preach. And God cut the south end out of heaven. And I had already forgotten about the prayer until the first one came. Here come one. Here come another one. Here come another one. Here come another one. I looked over in a glass room. They had a classroom, but it had glass all the way around it so that guards could see what was right in there, what was going on in there. And one of our men, there was only two of us on the meeting, was dealing with those men from the Bible. And I looked over there and I went, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I turned back towards the congregation. I said, I believe God. Before I could get the rest of it out of my mouth, a man jumped up. What I was going to say is, I believe God is dealing with somebody else's heart. And the seventh man. Now listen, if you've ever worked in prison, Brother Wayne, you nod your head and let them know. If 7 men come forward, it's very unlikely that 7 men are coming to get saved. Most of them will say, or some of them will usually say, I'm backslid. Oh, yeah, I've been saved, but I need you to pray for my mom, or I need you to pray for my son, or something like that. How many's following me tonight? Uncertainty. How do we deal with it? I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to make a statement tonight. You'll either deal with uncertainty, or uncertainty will deal with you. One or the other. I asked that man when he came out, the men, I've shook hands with the men. They're filing back out on the yard. The man's name was Brother Robert Leach. I said, Brother Robert, how many of those men trusted Jesus? How many of y'all already know the answer? He said, preacher, you ain't going to believe this. He said, every one of them. He said, they were so broken. He said, every one of them accepted Jesus. So what did God do? He said, preacher, I heard your prayer. I know how uncertain you were. And I'm not holding it against you. How many knows he didn't hold it against Gideon? I'm just telling you, there'll be times You can open this book. How many's ever heard the phrase boxcar letters? And God will speak. He'll jump off the page in boxcar letters. You can't miss it. But there'll be other times when you pray and you just can't get settled. I've prayed over a vehicle before. You say, man, I wouldn't even fool with that. You live that way if you want to. I've driven a few that I didn't pray over. The old Pinto, Miss Eve. Hey, man, oh, Miss Eve went shoo. I've said, God, if you want me and Miss Eve to have that, it'll be here. God, you know I'm leaning this way. Lord, would you just let that man sell that thing if you don't want us to have it? How many believe God can just sell that thing if he don't want you to have it? That's the God I serve. Youngins need to pray about where God wants you to go to school. Need to pray about what God wants you to do with your life. You need to pray about who God wants you to marry. How many believe I'm telling it right tonight? Amen. Esther said, I'll go in and I'll do what you've asked me to do, Mordecai. Or Mordecai. Who said that a little while back? Mordecai. Was that Brother? Who? Brother Napper, maybe? That's all right. Mordecai. That was Brother Napper, I believe. Amen. But Mordecai, there better be a prayer meeting going on out there. How many believes there was? Amen. I'm going to quit right there tonight. There's no way that I can cover the ground that God's put in my heart. How many's getting the idea? Dealing with uncertainty. Dealing with uncertainty. Jesus, let me leave this thought with you. Bless my heart. There's somebody told Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'm going with you. Jesus responded like this. He said, the foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But he said, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Brother David, in your lifetime, has it ever been uncertain where you'd lay your head? Mine either, brother. Lord, a shout glory right there. Amen, Brother Lance. Has there ever been a time that, I mean, you didn't know where he's going to lay your head? And Jesus was telling that man, it may not be quite as easy to follow me as you think it is. Amen. In Jesus' life, he was God. He was man. He did get weary on his journey. He did get thirsty. He did possess a righteous anger in the temple when he threw the tables over and he drove the money changers out of the temple. I just want you to know tonight, every one of us will be faced with uncertainty somewhere along the way. I can't wait to get to the last part of the message. Maybe we'll get there Wednesday night. I ain't done in the second part yet. But in the last part, we're going to concentrate on the things that are certain in the times of our uncertainty. How many's glad you come tonight? How many believes God loves his children? You want to know his will? He don't want to hide it from you. He wants to expose it to you. He wants to show you his will. I mean, he's glad Esther was willing to go. And she said, if I perish, I perish. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, King, you need to know something. God will deliver us from you. We're not going to bow. Daniel, I never can even think hardly about the story of Daniel and the den of lions without thinking about Brother Mays Jackson. He just had a way of saying things at times. Brother Mays said he believed Daniel. They threw him down in that den of lions, and he looked over and said, "Come here, Leo.
Yeah.
I need a pillar." We do know this. The lions couldn't bite the man of God. God locked their jaws up. I don't mean they weren't hungry. Check out the next morning. That's exactly right. The lions devoured them. Devoured them. But God delivered Daniel. God's going to deliver you. God's going to deliver me. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Lord, there's so much we can glean. So many, Lord, decisions that we make in life. Lord, we just went through a season in our country. It was uncertain who was going to be the president. But God, you knew. I sure didn't, Lord. I sure did not know. God, I just pray tonight that you'd help us in those times of uncertainty to look to the one, look to the Lord, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Look to him in prayer. Lord, you said there's safety in the multitude of counselors. Lord, I'm glad I have some brethren that are close to me tonight, that love me. When I share something with them, they don't go talk about it all over the world. But God, they pray for me. Lord, the direction of our church, God, please lead the way. Just give us grace to follow. Lord, lead our families, each individual tonight, Lord. Our young people that are here tonight, thank God, Lord, they're here on a Sunday night. Lord, so much is up in the air. So much is uncertain. God, I pray they'd look to you. Lord, there'll be a terrible, terrible price to pay if they don't look to you. Help them to look to you. Be able to live their life in peace. To know your will. Thank you, Father, for our people. In Jesus' name.